Yeah, today we begin the two-part series in Yom Erev. Okay, so in order for us to understand basic concepts of Erevin, we need to understand the Isser Melacha that we're referring to. You know, on Shabbos there are Lamedtes Melachos. And one of the melachos is hotzah, that is a prohibition on Shabbos from taking something from a private domain and bringing it to a public domain. Private domain is an area enclosed with walls, around 40 inches tall, 3 or 4 walls. And to take an object from a private domain to a public domain, and we'll have to define what a public domain is, and vice versa, from a public domain into the private domain. There's one word that people use to describe this malacha, which really is inaccurate, halachically, and that is the word called carrying. Everyone will tell you, you can't carry on Shabbos. And it's a very misleading word, because if you would say push a stroller, no one would say you're carrying, right? You don't call that carrying. If I have something in my hand, my pocket, you call that carrying. But the Isser of Shabbos is nothing to do with carrying per se. Whereas if I take a stroller that's in the private domain and I push it out into the public domain, even though I wouldn't technically call it carrying, I also have violated the prohibition of Hotzah, because I caused it to move from one domain to the other. And of course, the reverse, if I bring it from the public domain into the private domain, I also have violated the prohibition of hachnasa. Even though, so the word carrying is, you know, a lot of times it has to do with carrying, but just carrying could be a misrepresentation of what the malacha is. It could lead somebody to think that it's only when you carry, and therefore you could come to some erroneous conclusion, that if you're like the example I gave you with the stroller, you know, that you pushed, you know, that shouldn't be a problem. And if there would be a situation where there would be a private domain and a public domain, it would be a problem. Okay, so the Isser is not carrying, it's the Isser is transferring from one domain to another domain. Okay, and if you do that on Shabbos, you violate a Torah prohibition, provided that the private domain is really private and the public domain is really public, and we'll have to define what that means. Okay, it's interesting, the Tosas in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Beis says that Hotzah is different than all the other 39 malachas. There are 39 malachas, so Hotzah is one of them, and you have 38 others. So Hotzah is really different. How so? So the Tosas calls it the Malacha Gerua. Malacha Gerua. What does the Malacha Gerua mean? The Malacha Gerua is a substandard Malacha. What does that mean? I mean, Hotzah, you get the same punishment for violating Hotzah that you violate any of the other. You know, there's a Chiyuv Skila B'Mezid, B'Shogeg, you bring a Korban Chatos. But the way some Rishonim explain Malacha Gerua is that It is the one malacha where there's really no creativity in the malacha. Because all the other malachas on Shabbos, you write, you cook, you create something that wasn't there before. It's all creative. You cook, you write, you plant, you know, you set up a system where something is being created. Where something is... something is being created. So that is the one exception. Here, nothing is being created. It's just you're going from one location to another location. So therefore, in the end of the day, it doesn't really make a difference because at the end of the day, it's awesome. But Tosfos just discussed it in terms of that if you you need an extra pasuk because you wouldn't have known otherwise, to this that you know, this malacha is bigger chiddush than the other malachas. Big chiddush that even though there's no creativity going on, yet it's still awesome, and that's what we call a malacha gerua. In fact, the Sifrei Machshava, you know, discussed that this is the first malacha that's discussed in Masechet Shabbos. Masechet Shabbos starts off with Yitzias HaShabbos. So this is the, the Sifrei Machshava. We say the first thing that the Masechta starts off with, or the first time something's mentioned in Chumash, shows a particular characteristic. And someone who explained, the Meshech Chachma has this idea that basically, again, this is not how, this is just one Hashkafic point, that Shabbos really is meant for his bodidus. Shabbos is really time to be isolated. Yontif is the time when we're supposed to get together with people. Shabbos is really meant to think about emuna and things like that. Now, in our society today, you know, there's so much going on during the week, so halavai, people should get together on Shabbos. But technically speaking, Yontif is a time to get together. That's why there's a permissibility to carry on Yontif. Again, even on Yontif, you're not allowed to carry. But if it's Lutzorach, if it's a need, you know, but something that's totally not needed. Is it Isser or Tzor? And Yontif as well, if you carry things that are totally not needed. Things that are needed, you're allowed to carry. You can carry the stroller, you can wheel the stroller, you can take your lulav, things that you need. You can, you need your handkerchief if you sneeze a lot. And on Shabbos, it's not, because Shabbos, so the Meshech Chachma explains that the whole idea of Yontif is people getting together. And that's why, to facilitate people getting together, we let carrying going on. So I can come to your house, I can bring some food, you can come to my house, we can get together, etc. And the Shabbos was made more to be more isolated. Now, I'm not saying that you know, it could be in this generation, you know, which people need to get together on Shabbos too, but really that's the real of the Torah is behind. In fact, it's interesting that the Zohar HaKadosh, says that that an integral part of Yom Tov is to invite guests to the house. And if you don't invite guests, of course, if there are no guests, there are no guests. Again, create guests. But you should look to invite guests on your house. And Shabbos, the Zohar's, on Shabbos you don't find such a thing. It's only a din in Yom Tov. In fact, the Noah Sefer Noam Megadim, which is a classic Hasidic Sefer, says on Derech Hadrush that when it says in the Mishnah, there's a famous Mishnah in Megillah, Amen Shabbos Liyontif and Ochel Nefesh Bavach. That there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif, but Ochel Nefesh, meaning Yontif you're allowed to cook and Shabbos you can't cook. So the Noam Megadim, based on the Zohar, says Al Derech HaRemez, another thing, Ochel Nefesh Levad, meaning eating alone. That on Shabbos you can eat alone. On Yontif you're supposed to be with people. You're supposed to have guests, and that's what the Zohar HaKadosh says. Okay, but so this is the Isser Hotzah. Again, we pass in that there's an Isser Hotzah on Yontif as well. It's just that it's mutter if there's a tzorach. On Shabbos, even if there's a tzorach, it's us. You can't say, well, I need to blow my nose so I can take my handkerchief. I need this, I need that. Okay, there's an Isser. Now, so let's just define, when we discuss the idea that there's an Isser Hotzah, so we said the basic Isser Hotzah is coming from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabbim. Rishus HaYachid literally is a private domain. Now, private domain, the way Halacha defines it, is an area enclosed by walls, around, say, 40 inches or so. According to some, three walls, according to some, four walls, but it's enclosed with walls, like this building is enclosed with walls. So this building is a Rishus HaYachid. Okay? Now, what is a Rishus HaRabbim? That is the big question. A Rishus HaRabbim is literally a public domain. What makes something a Rishus HaRabbim? So the Gemara tells us a couple of things. It's like this. The verse says it has to be Tez Zayin Am. It has to be 16 amos wide, which could be around 28 to 30 feet or so wide, roughly. I'm not giving an exact number now, but saying that ballpark. And it's a ritual. So if you have that area, that wide area, and people are going through, that is a Rishus HaRabbim. And the Gemara says also, it's Eino Makura. No ceiling. No ceiling. It's an area, Eino Makura. So basically, if you go to any community, go in the street, so all the streets Lachara fit this criteria. These criteria, they're Tezayin Amma, right? The street over here, Amsterdam Avenue for sure. Even the streets that are not as wide. So any two-lane street would make this would fulfill this requirement, and it's usually there are no ceilings on the streets. So there you go. That would be a Rishus HaRabbim according to the definitions in the Gemara. So if you would take, so that would mean that if you would go and carry, again, carrying is not such a good word, but I don't even know how to use it. It's just easy to speak that way. But as I already made my disclaimer before, that carrying is not a good way of defining it, but you know what I mean. Transferring something from, let's say, this building, and I bring it outside in the street here. So, Lachora, I have violated a Torah prohibition of Hotzah, because I took something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabbi, and vice versa. Okay? Now, the Gemara also has another definition. It has to be mefulash. Mefulash literally means, in other words, it has to be open, that you can go through. Because if you have a street and it's blocked, it's not mefulash, you can't go through, so then that's not a Rishus HaRabim either. So it has to be able to go through, and that's called it's mefulash. But again, with these three definitions, there's still a lot to say that our streets are Rishus HaRabim. Now, let me just put one thing into the equation here. Whenever something is a Rishus HaRabim, you can't make an Erev. There was a quote. Well, let me just define that. In other words, what we call the air of the strings, that thing, that literally is called a tsuras hapesach. Tsuras hapesach. A tsuras hapesach is when you have two vertical poles and one horizontal string. So it looks like a door frame. And that's what we call an Erev, even though that's technically not what the word Erev means. We'll still have to explain it either this in today's year or next week's year. But if you have the area surrounded with these poles, these vertical poles and horizontal strings on top, and it goes around the area, so we've created a wall, so to speak, around the area. Right? In other words, we have an area that doesn't have walls, and we put up these tzuras hapesachs. We basically closed an outdoor area, made it even there's a wall around it. There's a wall around it. Like if we could build a wall around this whole area, then in other words, a Rishus HaYachid doesn't have to be indoors. Understand? You shouldn't think that the definition between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim means indoors versus outdoors. Because your backyard, if it's fenced in, right, it has walls around it, that's called a Rishus HaYachid, even though it's outdoors. In other words, it's not the definition of indoors versus outdoors. Rishus HaRabim, can't be indoors in the sense that usually indoors has a ceiling on it. And Rishus HaRabim can't have a ceiling, so it can't be mefura. So Rishus HaRabim, by default, will usually be outdoors. But Rishus HaYachid has nothing to do with indoors versus outdoors. You can have something that's totally, quote, outdoors, that is a Rishus HaYachid. Yes?
Would the one outside of Reuben qualify as Rishus HaYachid?
Right, we said this. Just erase a little. We said Rishus HaYachid. Okay. So Rishus HaYachid, again, has three walls, according to some opinions, four walls around the area. Rishus HaRabim, so far, is these things. It's an area that's given over for the public, and it's Tezayin Amah wide, like 30 feet or so wide. And
doesn't have walls around it, obviously, and it's not ceiling, it goes through. But then you have what's called a carmelis. A carmelis is neither one nor two. It's not a rishus hayachid, because it doesn't have walls around it. But it's not a rishus harabim either, because it's not a thoroughfare. So say the lawn, where's that lawn? In front of, say you have a lawn in front of your house, or front of wherever, right? So the lawn doesn't have a fence around it, right? So it can't be a rishus hayachid. But on the other hand, it's not a rishus harabim either, because it's not, rishus harabim by definition has to be an area where the traffic is going through, either traffic by foot or traffic by car, but the traffic is going through that area. So if you have a lawn in front of your house and it's not fenced in, or sometimes you can have a lawn that has hedges around it. So the hedges, if the hedges are on all four sides, so then that's like having walls around it. But you have a regular house and a lawn with no hedges around it, no thing. So that's called a carmelis. Carmelis is when it doesn't fit the criteria of one, it doesn't fit the criteria of two, so it has a din of carmelis. Okay? So carmelis is considered a rishus harabim midrabon. It's rabbinic in prohibition because it looks like a rishus harabim because it doesn't have walls. So even though it's not technically rishus harabim because it's not a thoroughfare, then there's another rishus. Maybe I don't want to discuss it today too much because that's more technical. Called a makom patur. That's something that is like a neutral zone. Maybe we'll get to that next year. But so b'kitzer, let me just point out the only time you can make a tzuras ha-pesach around an area is if it's a carmelis. If it's a rishus harabim, you can't make a tzuras ha-pesach. So what we call an eruv, you know, like Rav Shach always likes to say, eruv is a yiddishism of the words of tzuras ha-pesach, because the technical thing of an eruv is something else, which I'm not ready to explain to you yet. So that's why we have two sessions on this. Okay. But so b'kitzer, the three main things that we're going to talk about today are Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and Carmelis. Now, the only time you can make a Tzuras HaPesach is if it's a Carmelis. If it's a Rishus HaYachid, well, you don't need it. If it's Rishus HaRabim, it won't help. And then the Carmelis, if you want to carry the Carmelis, so if you have a lawn in front of your house and you want to carry on that lawn, so you need to have you can put up the poles before and put the string. I mean, obviously you have to know the technical halachas of how to create it, and then you could do it. Yeah.
So what would a balcony of an apartment building qualify as? Is that
correct? Right. So usually a balcony is, I would hope, that there are walls around your balcony. Or else it's a serious. What?
It's a mitzvah for that too. Make the walls
up. Yeah, a mitzvah maka or whatever, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the balcony of your apartment is a rishus hayachid. Because there are walls around. Even if there are walls, there are some sheet that will still say it, since it's coming out of Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. That's the idea. Now, so the obvious question that needs to be addressed, and we still didn't fully finish our definition of Rosh Hashanah.
But it would seem to me, based on the information that I presented to you now, that if I'm trying to carry in on a lawn, which is not a thoroughfare, and there's no walls there, so I can put up, quote, an area of the strings and the poles and everything. But if I want to carry in on the streets here, the city streets, so it would seem a lot that no go, right? Because based on what I presented to you now, it's Tezayinama, it's not Makur, it's Mefulash, so it's Mamash Rosh Hashanah. And whenever there's a Rosh Hashanah, you can't, a Tzuras HaPesach will not be effective. Yeah, you're all familiar with them, you know, probably all the communities that you come from, I assume, have, quote, Erevin. I mean, Erevin became, the past 20 years or so, became like, there are very few communities left where Jews live that don't have some type of Erev, a questionable Erev, or whatever, not Erev, but something. Right? So, Lachor, at first glance, our communities are just around that carmelists. See, if we just wanted to carry in our backyards, and we didn't have a fence around our backyards, or our front lawn, so our front lawn is not a thoroughfare, so it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah. It'll only be a harmless, because it doesn't have the definition of Rosh Hashanah. It's not Rosh Hashanah either. It's not a wall, so then we put up this. But all the communities are thoroughfares, right? Cars are going through, people are walking through, and that is the... that is the discussion over here. Now, comes Rashi and other Rishonim and say that there's another requirement besides these three. There's another requirement in order for an area to be called Rosh Hashanah, which is not explicitly stated in the Gemara. That's why many Rishonim say this requirement doesn't exist. And that is the requirement of Shishim Riba. That there be 600,000 people.
This is not, you already said this is not in the Gemara?
This is not explicitly in the Gemara, no.
It's Rashi on the Gemara.
Right. That you need 600,000 people in the area to make this place called Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if you don't have Shishim Ribo, so then, even if you have the first three requirements made, it's Tezayinam, it's Tamakur, it's Mekulash, it still won't be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Now, where did that come from? Where does this figure come from? So this, well, not Har Sinai, but the mid, well, sort of Har Sinai, but the encampment in the desert that the Jewish encampment included. I mean, if you only include certain ages and whatever, the number was given that it was 600,000 male Jews in the Midbar. And that was where they were given the laws of Shabbos. They said that if you carry in the, you know, in certain streets in the Midbar, so that's considered carrying the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you would be forbidden to do so on Shabbos. So Rashi, now the Rambam, he never heard of such a thing. He says that's not in the Gemara. There's no such requirement. I mean, even though, you know, we learn things from the desert, from the Midbar, but we don't learn everything from there. You know, no one's gonna, you know, you learn certain things, not every detail that, you know, existed is codified as part of the halacha. So it seems that like many, there are different rishonim on different sides whether this requirement is a requirement or not. Obviously, this is a very big leniency to have this requirement, because without this leniency, then at first glance, many areas should warrant the description of being a rishus harav.
Shishim ribu a day.
Oh. So I purposely was very vague in explaining what shishim ribu is. I just said 600,000. I didn't say a day. I didn't say a year. I didn't say this. The Shulchan Aruch uses that phrase b'chol yom. That is, does appear in the Shulchan Aruch. The b'chol yom. So many have pointed out that Minhag Yisrael was always, the Moshe Feinstein even said, that Minhag Yisrael was always to follow this lenient opinion. To follow this lenient opinion, and to have to be 600,000 people there in addition to the to the other requirements. And now, what's the problem? What's the expression? You give him a little bit, he takes a lot, you know. Give him a finger, he takes an arm.
Give a man an inch, he takes a mile.
What?
Give a man an inch, he takes a mile.
Yeah. So basically, that's the first glance what's going on over here. In other words, so Rashi was Mako. He says, okay, you don't have 600,000, you can put up your Erev. But now, in all these communities, say in Manhattan. Now, people are making Erevin in Manhattan. Right? Now, Manhattan, how many people are in Manhattan?
Like 2 million.
2 million.
Is it how many people or how many people pass through?
We'll get to that in a second. Manhattan, shishim ribo, that's a nothing. A little shtibo has shishim ribo. Manhattan's millions of people, and yet, right? They're building air left and right. So I say, you give him an inch. You give him an inch.
Take a mile.
We give him a head to the Shishim Ribo. So now they're building Erevin even more than Shishim Ribo. So what's going on here? I mean, how much of a cooler do you want? So what's going on? What's going on with this? I myself personally only use an Erev if it's for sure not a Rishus HaRab. So I only use an Erev when there's no Tezayin Am, like in camp, in the country. Camp Marashah, something like that. So it's Camp Marashah and other camps like Kadoma are... There are number three, they're kamos, because they're not rishus yachid because there's not fences around them, but there's no road there that's even tazayin amma in the camp. So mamela, it's for sure kamos. So mamela, it's only an issue with the rabbanon. So then I carry in the camp. But in any other community, once there's Tezayin Amma, it's already a Shaila of a Daraisa. So then, I say to myself, I want to get involved in a Shaila of Chil Shabbos Daraisa. And in fact, When Rav Aaron Cutler, the late Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood, came to America, he wanted that the psak in America be that whenever there's Tezayin Amma, you shouldn't put up an Erev. So basically he was saying that we shouldn't have Erev in any communities, only in our backyards. So the one to defend that no, we should be Mako, was Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, no, the minhag's always been to be Mako for Shishim Bimbo. But the question that I'm posing you now is good. Rav Moshe to make him for Shishim Bimbo, but what? You give him an inch and they take a mile. And now they're building a different Hebrew lot when there's more than Shishim Bimbo. Who are you, where do you fellas live? You live in the communities that have 600,000 or no?
LA.
LA, oh, LA. How many people live in LA? How many million people there? Where do you live, in the valley or the city? Or
valley.
Also, right? You live?
Muncie.
Okay, Muncie.
Where I live, it's further north. It's even more so.
What?
It's more, there's not as many people.
Muncie is really, yeah, so you're from, yeah, where do you live?
Scarsdale?
Nothing. Well, not that one.
Cleveland?
What is Cleveland, is this?
More in the suburbs, so not
that many people.
Detroit? Suburbs, but there aren't
usually. Oak Park? Oak Park, yeah. Or Mars? What do you
think? No, I'm not sure.
Who's your
girl? Leo Coleman.
Coleman? Mm-hmm. What is your name?
Brzezinski.
Baltimore?
I'm also in the suburbs.
Also Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Miami.
Miami Beach?
No, South Miami.
South Miami. Okay, so what's going on?
Can the foolish be temporary?
What do you mean?
Well, can I show the death? It's like Umishlan, it's not even like Moshavim where they're actually gated up. But like with Yerushalayim, there's certain communities, like right by Rakhavi, whatever it is, so they put up the little police cars for on Shabbos.
What about this?
Just like this.
This street here.
Yeah.
So that's the question. Did we accomplish anything? Like I mean, not Shabbos, but the fact that we are blocking off traffic here, that would be good. That's a question. Did we accomplish anything that the traffic can't go here through a good part of the day? Would that make it not Rishus Rabban? That's what we have to talk about that. Okay, so there's a lot to say here. Let's say it like this. So there's one opinion that some poskim hold. As you said, Shishim Ribo. So what does Shishim Ribo mean? What do you think it means? So one possibility means that 600,000 people have to go on that particular street every day for it to become a Rishus Rab. So 185th Street, even though there are Shishim Ribo here in Manhattan, but I don't, even if we would close it off, you won't have 600,000 people going on this street every day. Right? This even though it's Tezayin Amma. But you don't have 600,000 people going on the street every day. So then, one could say that maybe that's the leniency. That it's not that we're building Erevin where there are more than 600,000 people, but rather the 600,000 have to be on what? It's not enough for 600,000 people in the general vicinity, but 600,000 what?
On that street.
On that street. What do you say? Now, if that would be the case, then...
That's the number for Broadway, right?
Now, so would there be streets that do have 600,000 a day?
For the cars? We count cars?
Yeah, count cars.
Midtown.
Midtown?
Bridges.
What about Amsterdam Avenue?
Oh, so then you have to ask which part can you section off the street?
Let's assume the whole street.
You can't say like uptown.
No, let's say the whole street.
From Dublin.
What? Amsterdam, 600,000 a day. Definitely.
A whole length of the
street. Yeah. So if that be the case, then we even have on that one street. So that's not gonna. Now, it's interesting that the.
Were there roads in the biblical time when 600,000 people would travel over them?
Say more. What do you say?
That it was an error situation.
So, what's your name?
Yehuda.
What Yehuda's saying is, how can you tell me that has 600,000 a day? What are you thinking? There's Man Chazal, there were roads that have 600,000 a day, and yet we still said that, the verse says that Yerushalayim was the Rishus HaRabim, had it not been that at night they closed the gates of Yerushalayim. But if they wouldn't have closed the gates of Yerushalayim at night, then Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, would have been, at least the main thoroughfare of Yerushalayim, would have been called the Rishus HaRabim. Now, do you mean to tell me that there were 600,000 people that traversed any given street in Yerushalayim every day bizman Chazal? Probably not. Right? Probably not. So that's what Chaim Oizer writes in Yachi Ezer, that he doesn't think it's mustaber that you could say that you need 600,000 to be on one street, because did they ever really have such a thing? Again, most of the Rishonim, a lot of the Rishonim say there's no such requirement of Shishin Reba. But so basically, as we're saying, the Rishonim, let's say that there are Shishin Reba, you know, now we're trying to say, and they meant that it should be all on one street. But Rabbi Shalom, did you ever really have such a thing? Did Yerushalayim have that? Did Shulchan Aruch say Shishin Reba b'chol yom? Does Yerushalayim ever had such a thing?
Can you really know?
I don't know. It's not. I mean, how many people? I mean, you can find out this probably how many people lived in Yerushalayim. You know, this Baruch Hashem.
Does it have to be just on one street in the whole area?
Oh, if you want to say the whole area, that's a different thing. But then we have the Chumrah, because so Rav Moshe Feinstein says, no, it's the whole area. Now, what's called the whole area? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, well, where are we getting this number of 600,000 from? The encampment in the desert. Now, how big was the encampment in the desert? It was Yudbei's mill, by Yudbei's mill, which is like 8 miles, say, by 8 miles. So Moshe Feinstein says that the 600,000 have to be within a box of 8 miles by 8 miles, because that's what it was in the Midbar. Of course, if you're learning the number 600,000 in the Midbar, so it should be with the same space as it was in the Midbar. But if you have 600,000 in an area and it's more spread out, so then that's not similar to the Midbar and it won't be a Rishus HaRab. Now, is this a kula or a chumra, as Rav Moshe is saying?
Depends on who.
Well, you see, on one hand, you see, Rav Moshe Feinstein was the first one to make up this notion that it has to be yud beis mil by yud beis mil. Because again, even though that was this case in the Midbar, who says that we learn out that halacha ledoros? That not everything that existed in the Midbar do we learn out. In other words, whatever is in the Gemara, okay, you want to say the Rishonim, and half the Rishonim never even heard that there should be a din of Shishim Riba.
What's the holding of Shishim Riba? It only makes sense to go back.
Right, that's what Ramosha thought. But one could say, no, maybe they learned out the din of Shishim Riba, but not necessarily in the same concentration as it was in the Midbar. Maybe as long as someone to say, as long as there's a contiguous city and it's continuously built up, so you don't just box in an 8 mile thing. So that's what some claim that I think Rabelski said this once, that Moshe's initial permissibility to create an Erev in Queens, in Kew Garden Hills, in contrast to his stringent opinion in Brooklyn, was based on the skittish of the Yud Beis Mil. That in Brooklyn there's 600,000, but a more concentrated area. And in Queens it was more spread out, and therefore it didn't fulfill this requirement of the Yud Beis Mil. So, and then Rav Moshe went on to say that in Europe, we know that very big cities in Europe, Warsaw and the like, had Erevin in Europe. And the same idea, that they were allowed because it was more, even though there were so many people, it was bigger territory. It was more spread out, and therefore they didn't have the Shishim Ribra within the Yud Beis Mil. But again, this is a chiddush. In other words, one could say, no, once this 600,000, so then in the whole city, so that's it. Even if it's spread out, if it's in a different location, it no longer relates to this city anymore. This city stopped. It's a different city, so that you don't count those people to this. But as long as it's contiguous, so maybe you should. So the Rav Moshe had this kula. But again, that's not gonna help for places like Manhattan, Brooklyn, where it's very densely populated in a very concentrated area. Now, Rav Moshe has another tshuva from a later tshuva and says another chiddush, which again, no one ever said. And that is, you need 600,000 people, again, we said it in the Yud Beis Mil, but also you need 600,000 people to be on the street at any given time. So therefore, he says that you need five times that amount, around five times that amount of what? Of inhabitants. And if you have what? So that would be like 3 million inhabitants. So then, if you have 3 million inhabitants, so at any given time during the day, there would be 600,000 people on the streets, and that would...
Day.
Yeah, I think so.
And that would make it Rosh Hashanah. Now, this idea is in a later tshuva. It's not in his original tshuvas. But based on that, some communities were looking to say that their community, I think that was part of the LA story, were looking to say that their community doesn't make the 600,000 of Rav Moshe because they didn't have the 3 million inhabitants. Now, to me, again, you want to say the first Kiddush of Rav Moshe, okay. But this Kiddush is, even bigger Kiddush. You know, this at least, the first Kiddush is, you say, okay, like you said, 600 million, it should be within the Yud Beis Melech. But this thing is, okay, now. So there are a couple of more possibilities. Now, one of them is focusing on number three. And number three is mefulash. Now, the poskim say mefulash means mefulash mishar lishar. It has to be that the streets are, you can go through from one side of the city to the other side of the city. So the some Rishonim say that mefulash means mechuvan, and mechuvan means it has to be straight. You have to have a straight street going, just like by the midbar, the encampment. There was a straight street going from north to south, from east or from east to west. But once the street turns, like Ocean Parkway turns, I think Amsterdam they say turns. Once it turns, so it's no longer a Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, very difficult. I mean, his Kiddush movement, but he felt that, it doesn't say that beferish in the Gemara anyway, that mefulash means mechuvan. Maybe mefulash just means that you can go through. They once asked the late Rav Bick, who was a big posek in Brooklyn. He was very anti-Arab in the big places. And he said about a certain street in the New York area, is it mefulash? So his answer was Biz California. It's mefulash for California, meaning you can get through the whole way. It doesn't have to be straight. As long as here we have so many streets, so one street leads to the other, that's all called mefulash. So to say that you want to be master and this is the raisa. You want to be matter in Issa Daraisa. Based on this svara, many didn't go. Even though the Rav Shlomo David Kahana, who was the Rav in Warsaw, said that he feels the reason that there's an Erev in Warsaw is for this very reason, because the streets, there was no straight street that went from one side of the city to the other. And therefore, that makes it no longer Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Willard once pointed out that when Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote his tshuva and said the reason why it's mutter is because it's spread out, he basically matted their Erev for a different reason than they themselves had in mind when they made their Erev in Warsaw. But again, that also is a big kiddush to say that, again, we're talking about, something that's not in the Feirish in the Gemara. And there's a Truvus Rivosh against Truvus Rivosh that says Feirish, that as long as he can go through, that's called Mefulash. It doesn't have to be strict. Yeah.
By straighter term, do you mean like
the actual street twist, or that you might take like Amsterdam to Fifth Avenue and go through between those two streets?
Straight means that you would be able to go drive down straight and it won't take a turn.
But again, he's saying as long as you can get through, being as long, it doesn't matter.
And others say no, that, as long as you can get through by turning down the road, it's all. Yeah. Well, now, there's a very often quoted heter from the Chazanish. Chazanish, no, of course, I'm sure you've all heard of the Chazanish, Avraham Yishaya Karelitz, who was the. Who lived in Vilna, then in Bnei Brak. So he says a tremendous kiddush to matter all these areas. I don't think when he wrote it, he realized the impact of that one line, one paragraph. He wasn't necessarily writing it as a tshuva there. He was in the middle of his sefer. He says like this. Listen very carefully. Say I come out on the street here. So what is the street? Leave that out. If someone would tell you, you know, that street that you think is Rosh Hashanah, it's really Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Listen carefully. I come out of the street. I have four walls. Ready? The Gluck Center. That's a wall. First hall, I mean, not the Gluck Center, but still first hall. Let's keep going down. Where do I... Well, if I keep walking down, where am I going to hit?
North.
What?
North.
No, if I walk down the street straight.
Spanger. The gym.
Oh, over here, right. Spanger, right. I was thinking 186th Street. So I live on 186th Street, so I was thinking about that.
Where
will I hit in?
The gate on
Laurel Hill Terrace. And if I walk down the other direction, where will I hit into?
Wadsworth.
No, in other words, where will I bump my nose into?
Wadsworth.
Wadsworth? What, the buildings on Wadsworth? And where will I hit the buildings on Broadway? You know that? Or ultimately some of the streets will go to the train.
Yeah.
The train. So either way, I'm going to be surrounded by four walls. What do you think of that? I'm going to be surrounded by four walls. So I'm in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, really. So what's the one point that still has to be clarified? But it's not contiguous, because when I go down, it's still there's the whole Amsterdam Avenue that's a break between the Gluck, okay? I want to continue Gluck, but then to go to Stranger, there's a gap. There's all the Amsterdam Avenue. So what gives me a right to connect Gluck with Stranger and First Hall with the gym, whatever? What gives me the right? The answer is the concept in halakha called Omed Meruba of Aparis. Yeah, so for other things, in other words, as long as, say I have a wall, and there are gaps in the wall. So is that good? Do I have a wall filter shut like this? There are no gaps here. But in halacha, there could be gaps in the wall. As long as there's more wall than airspace, then what? Then there are... That's okay. That's considered a valid wall. So even though there's going to be a gap going from Gluck to across the street, this whole block is bigger. The wall is bigger than the gap. So that's called what? Omen Meruba Aparis. The only problem is the halacha is a pirtza yeser meyeser. Even if you have all the berubah laparos, but if the opening is more than 10 amos, which is very roughly 18 feet or something, 18, 19 feet, so then I lose the continuity. And here, what? I've been having pirtza more than 10 amos, right, when I cross Amsterdam Avenue. But says the Chazon Ish and others, but that halacha is only midrabbanan. Midoraisa, as long as I have more wall than airspace, then the continuity exists. The concept of a pirtza yeser meyeser is what? Is only what? Midrabbanan. So that means at a Torah level, when I step out of this building, I'm in the Rosh Hashanah. It's only a problem with Rabbanon, that there's still gaps, so then I can make an Erev. Unbelievable.
So that would qualify any major city, essentially.
Right. So all those major cities that are all built up are bound to... And the only time you have a concept of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is if this, it's like Rav Shekhar said, on the highways where there's no, you don't have, or when you, when there's no, you know, built up area. But there's a built up area, the walls themselves serve as, the walls of the buildings are mamechitzos. Now, is that too good to be true? I mean, oh, now, problems, there are a couple of problems. First of all, there are poskim that say that Pirtza yeser meyeser is a din d'oraisa. Right? The Mishkanos Yaakov has a truth about that. Okay, but there are those that say it's only d'rabbanan. So obviously, this whole thing will only work if you assume that Pirtza yeser meyeser is only a din d'rabbanan. Okay, pirtza yeser meyeser means that if I have gaps in the wall, it's still a good wall, as long as there's more air wall than gap. But then there's a halacha that even if I have more wall than gap, but if the gap, any given gap, is more than, 18 feet wide, then you don't have, that's considered a break, and there's no continuity, and it's no good. So if you hold Pirtza yeser meyeser as the Rabbanan, it works. So, okay, the Tosfos Harosh in the beginning of the second paragraph of it writes Mefarish that it's only a din the Rabbanan. So there are Rishonim that seem to say that it's the Rabbanan, even though there's what to say that it's a Daraisa, etc. Then there's another question. There's a Machlokas in the Gemara whether Asi, Rabim, Umavatli, Mechitzta, or lo asi rabim umavakli mechitzta. Meaning, what if there's a gap, but there's traffic that's going through the gap? Like by Amsterdam Avenue, you want that Glock should be continuous wall with the other side of Amsterdam. So consider one wall till you hit the gym, or till on 186th Street until you hit Laurel Hill Terrace. But there is traffic going through the gap. So maybe that stops the continuity of the wall. So that, the Chazon Ish says, well, the two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says, lo asi rabim uvatli mechitzta. And the Chazon Ish says, be paskin, lo asi rabim uvatli mechitzta. Now, another question that's asked is, so how come Yerushalayim in the time of Chazal, the Gemara says, would have been a Rishus HaRabim had they not locked the gates at night. So why Yerushalayim in the time of Chazal have the same kulam? So the Chazon Ish answers that question. And basically, he says like this. See, Yerushalayim Tam Chazal, there was a wall around Yerushalayim. And then you had like little courtyards. But they were all gated in. So basically, so when you were in the courtyard, you're in a Shoshayach. But if you were over here, so then you didn't have four walls. You had two walls, but there was nothing here.
So it was split in two?
Right. So therefore, in other words, you had a situation where you wouldn't have four. You see, because in the time of Chazal, there was a situation where all the houses opened up into courtyards, and the courtyard opened up into the Rishus HaRabim, and the Rishus HaRabim wasn't. See, here we have the built. You see, then basically the built up part, the houses were inside these courtyards. And then the courtyards had fences around them, in these houses. So, and then they led into an alleyway, and then they led into the Rishus HaRabim here. So the Rishus HaRabim itself didn't have, but here we have the so-called potential Rishus HaRabim right next to our houses. Right next to our houses. So Mamela, the walls of the houses maybe can serve as walls to the street. And Mamela, all our streets have walls around them. But again, the Chazon Ish's hetzer is only if you assume Pirkei Yes and Yes is Midrabana, and you assume that Lo Asi Rabim Uvatli Mechitzta. And so not everyone assumes assumption number one, not everyone assumes assumption number two. We have to assume both of them for the hetzer to be valid. Rav Moshe Feinstein still didn't like it. He still didn't like it. I always say that I think there's a fundamental machlokes here between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. See, the Chazon Ish was more of a mathematician. If it worked out, the math worked out like it does, so that's it. Rav Moshe was more into svara. He says, lo yitachin. Because according to this, the bigger the city it is, the less chance it's a Rishus HaRabim. So he thought that was counterintuitive to say such a thing. So he came up with the svara that maybe if it's made as a thoroughfare, then everyone would agree that Asi Rabim Mubad L'Mechitzta. So here, that's not so clear that the Gemara really says that way. In other words, he thought that it's illogical that you could have that the Chazon Ish just has to be wrong in a certain, you know, because according to the Chazon Ish, you can have a big city like Manhattan, and that's a Rishus HaYochid, and you can have some dinky little city in Hancock, New York, or something like that, that's not so built up and has one main road go through, and that, according to many Rishonim, is Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. So Rav Nasha Klein talks about this, so Rav Moshe couldn't be so well, the logic of that. But that's another tzakula, is this Chazon Ish. So based on a number of these ideas, the Shishi Rebo, or it's not... It's not, the streets are not straight, but that became, so in the end, what? We gave them an inch, they took a lot, a mile, but maybe there's a cool. But one, very well, in other words, to be machmir, not to carry, is not such a fanatic chumrah. You understand? Because all these, once this Tezayin Amo, and especially once the Shishim Ribo, so the stakes are high. In other words, in Marsha, in these camps, so it's only a shayla of a karmelis. So you just have to hope that they made the Erev correctly, and hopefully you'll go around and see that they made it correctly. And yes. But once you're in an area that has Tezayin Amma, so according to half Rishon, that's already Rishus Arab. And then, especially if there's Shishim Rebo, so then you have to come and stand in your head to try to figure out, even though there's Shishim Rebo, it's still going to be Mutter. And we discussed the possible Heterim, but it's far from Pashut. So, Erevin became the in thing. You know, it's they're here to stay, so it's hard to, it was, different 20, 30 years ago. It wasn't the thing, but it's someone wants to, especially if, if you're not married yet and there's no so much of a tzorach to carry, so there's no mitzvah that you have to carry. Understand? If you have responsibility, this, so then the heterim. So you have to realize, like Rav Gelli told me once, that in Europe, they relied on these heterim because, or else you didn't get hot food. You have to realize those days, you didn't have water in your own house, you didn't have a chulent in your own house, you went to the bakery, and then you had to bring, just for basic needs, you had to carry on Shabbos. The basic needs they had to carry. So people today say, well, it's a basic need for women to be able to get out, and, okay, whatever. But this is a, if you want to see, I wrote a sefer on Erev, and if anyone's interested in buying it, you can, it's for sale in the old Beis Medrash, the official Beis Medrash.
The old official.
And that building on 186th Street, that's a forgotten building. But okay, Bezushem, next week we can continue.